We're picking up in John chapter 11, verse 17. Hope you already have your Bibles open there and ready to go. The words are going to be here. I'm going to begin by reading through the passage that we'll be talking about today. So John chapter 11, verse 17. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world." All right, let's pray, because I really want to get this right today, all right? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would help me with this message, and not only help me, but that you would help each of us who are here today to hear and understand and apply what your word says. And thank you so much for this passage that we're going over today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take it from the top and go through and look at this passage here. And it's not going to work unless I give you this thing. As many buttons as I press, I'll just keep hitting it, hitting it, hitting it, and it won't work. It's going to happen. Okay, give it a moment. There we go. Did you hit it or did I? You did. Well, when you hear me click this, then hit change the slide, okay? Don't know what the problem is. Okay. So, taking it from the top, John 11, 17. If you haven't been here, you're joining us right in the middle of the passage and even the book of John. We're like basically roughly right in the middle of the book of John. And the book of John, this area where we are right now, is a little bit of a bridge between Jesus' public ministry that he had and then basically the Passion Week. You know, the week of his triumphal entry and then ultimately his death and resurrection. So John 11, 17 says, "Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days." And so if you remember from last week, he had left the area of Judea, which is where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. He had went away because the people were trying to kill him. They were ready to kill him at that time. So he had gone away, and he's roughly a day's journey away. Mary and Martha see that their brother's really sick. They said, "You got to send for Jesus, bring Jesus so he can heal our brother." They get the message to him, probably took about a day. Lazarus, based on this, since he's 4 days, had probably died already by the time Jesus got the message. Maybe he died shortly after that they sent him. Sent the messenger to Jesus. Jesus gets the message, and then he does this really curious thing. It says he loved Mary and Martha, he loved Lazarus, so he didn't go to them right away. He stayed where he was for 2 more days, and then he went to them. And that's why there's 4 days have passed, and Lazarus has been dead this long. And Jesus, the curious thing about it was, you know, like I said last week, Jesus, he just doesn't do things the way that we think he's supposed to all the time, because he knows better. And he had a plan here, and he had something that he wanted to show. And it was all out of his love. And it's that way for us too. So he got there, and Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Well, what's significant about the 4 days? I mentioned this last week. The Jews believed, and this is not necessarily a biblical thing or a true thing, but they'd have these different ideas. But they had this idea that a person wasn't really dead until 4 days had passed. They thought the person's soul may re-enter the body, but at the point of 4 days, you start to have some physical deterioration in the body. Decomposition starts to happen. And at that point, they were saying, you know, hey, the spirit's hovering on the body. The spirit won't want to re-enter the body because of that. Now, I'm not positive where they get these ideas from, but as you look at commentaries and study and you read, this was a belief that the Jews held. If you want to look into it more, you can. I'm satisfied with that, okay? Because it's not a true thing. All right, now we do know, this is just related, that oftentimes in the olden days, people thought people were dead and they really weren't dead. And there's all these things and all these phrases and stuff we have, like dead ringer and awake and these kind of things that happen. They're related to the fact that people, they thought were dead, but they really weren't dead. And they came, they revived again, but they weren't dead. You know what a dead ringer is? Dead ringer is they put a little bell on the coffin so that if the person was buried, he could ring the bell. I'm not making that up. That's where that phrase comes from. You've heard of an awake? Awake? It's because sometimes you got to watch a person, they'll wake up. It sounds like a joke. I'm not saying this as a joke. That's where these things have come from. Okay, and we apply them in different ways in our society. So he'd been in the tomb 4 days, and though the point of that is that he's definitely dead. Amen? Amen. He had definitely died. He's in the tomb. You know, they put him in the tomb, the cave, whatever it was, the rock. He is dead. Now, none of us here is comfortable with death. There shouldn't really be a single one of us that is comfortable with the idea of death. I mean, I think that we can be because of what Christ has done, but like when we think, like I said, we think of our loved ones, we think of losing someone and going on years and years and years without the one we love. That's very challenging, isn't it? And I want to say that in the way that I teach it, I teach that that's because death is not natural. Death is one of the most unnatural things for us because in our hearts are made for eternity. Forever. They're not made for separation. They're not made for loss like this. They're made for eternity. And that's what Jesus is making right. That's what he's fixing. And that can be fixed in him. And it is fixed in him. Okay, so Lazarus had been dead. He'd been dead 4 days as we look at it. And his family members and those that are associated with him are really facing that loss. And if you think about it, there's even like a grieving process that happens. And we know when we first hear about someone we love that has died, you know, it's like we just can't even believe it at first. And then we go through these different phases of what happened, and they happen at different speeds for different people. But surely those who love Lazarus are in the midst of this as we go through this. He says, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. I mentioned last week two Bethanies. Okay, this is the Bethany by Judea. It mentions it's 2 miles away, and you have all these people coming, all these Jews, it says, coming to comfort Mary and Martha. So this would indicate that they're pretty well-known people. They're somewhat prominent in their community, that they would have all these people come. These Jews that are coming, I would say these Jews, we need to think of them as we look at it as a mix of those who opposed Jesus and those who didn't. There's a group that comes. So within that group, you know, you have people kind of from both ways, you know. Now there might be some that even have believed in Jesus that are in that group that come. So they come, and they come from 2 miles away, and that would be common. That would be common for Jewish people to come and mourn for a long period of time. I think they mourned, they had a regular mourning for a week and then 40 days, and they had a longer period of mourning. Like a lot of times, I don't think we get this right in our society. Like we kind of quickly mourn and try to move on. But in the Bible, as you see, as people died in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they had a much longer period of mourning that they went through. And so I think each and every one of us should keep that in mind when we do face loss, you know, that we need to give ourselves time to mourn, and we need to give other people time to mourn. And then also you see that you did have people that came alongside, and they came alongside to comfort them and to be with them. And so we need to do our best to do that as well. And so they came. It says, so when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and she met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. it would really be normal for them to be there seated, mourning, not doing anything, having people come and wait on them and help them. That would have been what would be expected of them, to stay there and to stay seated and to not leave or not to go anywhere. Now here, you see a little bit of Martha's personality and Mary's personality. Again, Mary's, she's seated, she's kind of, maybe in this case, doing what she's supposed to be doing, but Martha has that part in her. She's like, no. I've got a burning issue. This is not settling well with me. I heard Jesus is coming. We called for him. I'm going to go and meet him. I'm going to go talk to him. And so she gets up and goes. Now, sometimes Martha gets a bad rap, doesn't she? Sometimes Martha gets a bad rap, just like Thomas gets a bad rap sometimes in the Bible. But Martha does. But really, I mean, Martha, she threw off what was expected of her to go talk to Jesus. And I think that that's pretty powerful to think about it. She went to talk to Jesus and have this encounter with him that we're looking at today. Martha said to Jesus, so when she finds Jesus, she gets to him, she says to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And so, first of all, what they sent that message to Jesus, hoping that Jesus would come, and they believed that if Jesus came, that he would heal their brother, and that their brother would not die. And so that was something that she was thinking, and she said, you know, I know, I have this faith, I believe that if you had been here, and it wasn't like she's scorning Jesus or mad at Jesus or something, she's just acknowledging in faith, you know, if you had been here, I know my brother wouldn't have died. You think that's true or not? I thought about this and I want to say, well, you know, it's Jesus' plan for your brother to die. But remember, Jesus said this, he more or less said this to his disciples. He said, I'm glad that I wasn't there so that you can believe. Because if I had been there, I would have healed him. All right, so this is kind of answered in the previous passage that the part of the passage that we looked at. So I think if Jesus had been there, he would have healed him. But that's kind of a beside the point because he wasn't there and he was never going to be there and it was his plan to not be there. Then there's a second part. It says, but even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. And a lot of times when we read that, we might think that she's saying, I know you can raise my brother now. And that's usually the way I've taken it. But as I kind of thought about it a lot and looked at it and studied this more, I'm not so sure that's what she means. Okay, she may mean that she knows even now that she believes in Jesus. It's more of a statement of faith. Even though he wasn't there and didn't heal her brother, she knows even now that he can do that. He can do those kind of things, and she still believes in him and sees it that way. All right, now the reason why I say that is if we go on and we look at what happens. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Your brother's going to rise again. And how is it that she responds? Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. So she goes from the fact, you know, he's dead now. She goes to the great truth that's true for all of us, okay, that we're all going to rise again. Do you know that even if you don't believe in Christ, that you're going to die and rise again? That's what the Bible says. It says whether you believe in Christ or not. Some are going to die and rise again, and they're going to rise to an eternity with Christ, and others are going to arise to eternity without Christ, suffering and paying for their sins. And so that's the resurrection that's talked about. It's a truth, it's a biblical truth that we need to believe in and that should shape our lives. You know, and should shape our view of death. That we're going to die unless Jesus comes back first. Because remember, we're waiting for Jesus to come back. So unless he comes back first, we're going to die. But we are going to rise again. And the Bible talks about us receiving new bodies. So if your body's breaking down now, don't worry. You're going to get a new one. Amen? How many of you ever got a different car? You had a broken down car. All right? That's nothing compared to getting a new body. It's going to be so much better, okay?
Sure.
We're going to get new bodies. But that's the resurrection is something that the Jews believed in, at least those who were believing in the Word of God. Now remember, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The problem with the Sadducees was they were very liberal in their ideas about the Scripture and about their faith. They didn't believe in the supernatural. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And they didn't believe in the supernatural. And so Jesus was actually a lot more in line with the Pharisees than the Sadducees. But they both come into play as you look at it. Okay, so Martha, though, believes in the resurrection. And if you were a believer, you know, in the Old Testament scripture, you would believe in the resurrection, because the resurrection is promised there. And it's reiterated in the New Testament. And so she believes in that. She goes, you know, okay, I know Jesus. I know. I'm going to see him in the resurrection, in the last day. Now, Jesus had more in mind than just that. But we can't discount that, because I want to tell you that, you know, if our loved ones die or have died, you know, I'm not saying that Jesus is going to rise them back again. I mean, don't we wish that it worked that way, that he just brought them back? I mean, we could wish that way, but he's going to. We just have to wait. We have to wait until he does it. But she's looking ahead to that, and she believes in that, and we all should believe in that. Jesus said to her, this is real meat and potatoes here. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Okay, so let's look at what he said here. He says, he doesn't deny that there's going to be a resurrection. And at this point, the issue really isn't that he's going to raise her brother from the dead. That's not the issue at this point. The issue is that he is what it's all about, and he is the resurrection. And apart from him, there is no resurrection, and there's no life, and there never has been any. Do you know that you wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Jesus? And he sustains you and he holds you together. And he says this, he's talking about the resurrection that you look forward to. He says, that's me. I am the resurrection and the life. And then he says this, he says, whoever, and this is true for us, whoever, any one of us, whoever believes in me, though he die. Now he's talking about, you know, the difference between the physical death and the spiritual death. Though he die, yet shall he live. So this is a truth, that if you are in Christ, if you believe in Him, if you've trusted Him as your Savior, though you physically die, you live. You live spiritually. So these bodies are just temporary, they're tense. Yes, there's a physical death that happens, but that's not it for you. It's not over. The immaterial you goes on and lives forever. And like it said, you will receive a new body. Okay, whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. So I look at it like this. The first is talking, they're talking about two different things. The first part there is talking again, the physical death. You will have a physical death, but spiritually you will never die. If you're born again, then you will never die spiritually. You know, in the book of Revelation, it talks about the second death. The second death is really when Satan and all those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are cast into the lake of fire. That's what Revelation says. That's the second death. And theologians didn't say it was the second death. The scripture says it's called the second death. And so what this is talking about is you will never ever face the second death. So everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he says these things, and this is how it always works. There's the truth, you know, here's the point, here's our understanding, here's the gospel, here's what the gospel says. It's all a bunch of information until it's presented to you and it says, do you believe this? That's what he asked Martha, do you believe this? And really, that's the same question for each and every one of us today. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe that you needed a Savior because you have those sins? And do you believe that those sins were separating you from God? Do you believe that He did that out of love for you and He wants to bring you back into a right relationship with Him? And do you believe that He really was God the Son that came down and died on that cross but didn't stay dead, rose again on the third day? Do you believe this? Do you believe that He appeared to over 500 people at one time and He appeared to many witnesses and He instructed them and taught them? And then do you believe that His disciples saw Him ascending into heaven? And do you believe that He said He's coming back again? And do you believe that now He's interceding on your behalf before the Father? Do you believe that He's said He's gone to make a home for you? And it's a good place to be. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Amen. I hope you do. I believe this. And that's really the most important thing. And that's really what it's all about. And this ought to brighten your day. You think about all the difficulties and challenges and things that we face and fears that we have and all the different hurts and pains and suffering that we go through, that what it all comes down to, everything this life is all about, it all just boils down to this. Do you believe in Jesus? Have you trusted Him as your Savior? Are you living this life for Him? So He asks, He says, do you believe this? And then Martha said to Him, yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. She confesses Him as the Christ and as the Son of God, and she confesses that she believes. And I hope that's your confession today. That you truly believe in Jesus. Now, I do want to tell you, true faith in Jesus shakes you up and it changes you. Amen? And I hope that it does. All right, just a couple applications. To make this brief, I'm going to close in prayer. We're not going to have time to sing the last song. We're just going to go through. And these are three very simple applications as we look at it. Somewhat reiterations. But don't leave today without answering that question, do you believe in Jesus? And I want to emphasize to you today that believing in Jesus, like there are a lot of people that think they believe in Jesus and the Bible says they don't. The Bible says that. It says people will say, you know, hey, didn't we do all these things for You, Jesus, and cast out demons and heal the sick? And what is Jesus going to say to them? He's going to say, depart from Me, I never knew You. So, you know, being part of a church and going to church and trying to do all the right things, that doesn't make you really saved. It doesn't really make you His child. What makes you His child is that you genuinely really do believe. And actually, in the Bible, if you look at it, nowhere in the Bible does it say saying the sinner's prayer saves you. It doesn't say that. What it says is belief saves you. Faith saves you. So it's by that faith that you say that prayer. Okay, so someone could say that prayer and be insincere and not really mean it and that not be true about them. That's between them and the Lord. That's not between me and them. That's between them and the Lord. Okay, keep that in mind, all right? But it's not the act that you do. It's the faith that you have. And so the question for each and every one of you is, do you have a genuine faith? Do you really believe? If you believe in Jesus, then it does change your life. It changes what you're willing to do, what you want to do, what things are about. It doesn't mean you're perfect. You don't become perfect all of a sudden. But really, He becomes a priority in your life. It says His Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. He changes you. You will produce fruit if you are a Christian. I'm not making that up. That's what's in the Bible, okay? It's there. Okay, and we're all called and encouraged to live that out and produce fruit. If you believe in Jesus, it's not just some distant thought that you have that doesn't impact your life. It's the essential truth of your life. So, do you believe in Jesus? And you know what? If you're here today, and I know you are because you are here, each and every one of you. But if this is you, you're here today, and maybe you've been going to church all your life. Or maybe you've been going just the last year or whatever. And maybe as you're examining yourself, you know, you're saying, you know what? I'm not sure my faith is genuine. Well, today's, if that's happened, I believe God is convicting you. And today is the day to have genuine faith. And to surrender your heart to the Lord. And to, you know, like I said, what it comes down to is you believe. So bottom line, do you believe? Do you believe? All right, second thing is this. What's the burning issue in your life? And I take that from, I was reading through some of the commentaries and they talked about Martha. Martha, she wouldn't sit down She heard Jesus was coming. She had to run to Him because she had a burning issue in her heart. What was the burning issue? It was that her brother had died, and that if Jesus had been there, that He would have saved him, you know, from dying. And she just couldn't bear with it. And she had this burning issue in her heart that was just troubling her. And couldn't we all just put ourselves in her shoes? Because we would all be like that too, wouldn't we? So there was this burning issue that she had in her heart. And I don't every day have a burning issue in my heart, but a lot of times I do. That there's this just this one thing. It's maybe it's really getting to me. It's really weighing on me. It's causing a lot of fear and a lot of concern and a lot of suffering in me. And what is it? I have this burning issue. So my question for you is, what's the burning issue in your life? And the more I've gotten to know each and every one of you, I realize that we have so many burning issues in this church. There are so many burdens that each and every one of us have in our hearts, and they're all unique and they're different, and everyone has a different issues. We all do. But there's probably something that's been bothering you this week. And I want to say maybe it's more than one thing, but a lot of times the way I work, I can only think about one thing at a time almost. You know, maybe this is a man thing. I don't have that spaghetti brain, you know. I start worrying about one thing, that's all I could think about, you know? Okay, so what is it? What is it? Do you have something? Is there something going on that's a burning issue in your life? And I want to tell you where to go with it. Take it to Jesus. Lay it down at His feet. Know that He's the Lord. He'll deal with it. You can trust Him with it. Maybe it's not going to go the way you want it to go. Give it to Jesus. Trust Him with it. Surrender it to Him. If you really believe in Him, this is what you need to be doing. Okay, you need to trust Him. You know, maybe what you've been praying, maybe what you've been asking for, He's not going to say yes to that. Because why? Because He has a different plan, a better plan. And you can hand it over to Him. All right, last thing here is, how is it that you are applying your faith in Jesus to that burning issue? Right? So if you're here with faith in Jesus, if you're confessing to be His child and His follower, you've got these burning issues, which I know really get to us, how is it that you take that faith in Jesus and in the resurrection and in the life to come and in His Holy Spirit indwelling us and doing work and working in hearts and lives? How is it that you apply all those Christian beliefs that you have to your burning issue? And will you surrender it to Jesus today? Will you just trust Him? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You so much for our time together. Thank You for Your Word. And I want to acknowledge that a lot of times I'll have burning issues that are just getting to me, Lord. And I know that I need to take them to You, and I don't always do that. And sometimes they get the best of me. And oftentimes, Lord, I look back years later and I realize, you know, what was I worried about? You've been taking care of things, Lord, and thank You for that. And just teach us what it means to come and lay those things at Your feet and surrender them to You and trust You to deal with them, Lord. And help us to be a body that, as we're going through those things, that we know how to point each other to You, Lord Jesus. That, like, when someone comes in fear and anxiety and different things, that we don't say the wrong thing, but what we do know how to gently point people to You, and that we do that through Your Spirit, Lord, and help us all to respond. And I just pray for this week. I pray that as we leave this place, Lord God, that You would guide and direct us, that You would teach us what You want us to know, and just lead the way and help us to just really live out our faith for You. Thank You so much, and thank You for what we have to look ahead to in You, Jesus. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You guys are all dismissed.